Welcome to the Dork Forest. Jackie and her pals will never bore us. Shameless confessions
about our obsession
will make us laugh and smile. So let's explore the Dork Forest and dork out for a while.
Hey, you guys, it's me, Jackie Cation. That's right. First ranger among rangers of the Dork Forest. You're listening to the Dork Forest. The websites, of course, are thedorkforest.com. Just regular dorkforest.com goes right to it. There's familypetancestry.com that goes to jackiecation.com because it made me laugh. Allthingscomedy.com has a Dork Forest page, and that is because that is my podcast umbrella network, and they have a lot of other podcasts on their website. If you're looking for other pods to listen to, a lot of stand-up comics have their podcasts on there. Al Madrigal and Bill Burr, of course, being the most famous. The credits, let's do it. Patrick Brady's going to fix this audio. Mike Rickberg composed and sang the intro song to The Dork Forest. He will sing again his words to the Mexican Hat Dance at the end. And Vilmos fixes JackieCation.com. He will be fixing up the merch page and making everything more expensive. So if it's $25 for a t-shirt with shipping, it's $30. Then that is taken into account that postage has gone up. And yeah, I raised the prices. But it all includes shipping. All the merch, I might as well talk about it. If you go to JackieCation.com on the merch page, the store page, you can get Ranger of the Dork Forest t-shirts, the Dork Forest t-shirts. I'm phasing out the brown ones. It's just going to be green. So, but I have some left in stock and I'm going to bring them on the road. They're all union made, all the t-shirts. They are made in the United States of America by union workers who have dental and healthcare, very glamorous. And so hence, they run big, just so you know, because they're made by union members and Americans. We proudly, I guess, or with some shame, are slightly larger than other people. You can also get all of my CDs. My CDs are available digitally on Amazon or iTunes. You can just also stream them on Pandora or Spotify, but you can buy hard copies on my website. So there's the first one, Circus People. Hard copy includes a QuickTime video from my 2003 Comedy Central special. The It's Never Going to Be Bread, which was top 10 comedy albums of the year in 2010 when it came out on Amazon.com. And my new one, which came out last year, was top 5 comedy specials of the year on Vulture.com, and that is called This Will Make an Excellent Horcrux. This Will Make an Excellent Horcrux is available as a CD, as a DVD, or as a downloadable $10 special on ComedyFilmNerds.com, which I also write movie reviews for. You can get just a download of it. The DVD itself has a DVD bonus, and I can sign anything. I can not sign things. There is a new t-shirt, and it is the Spooky Reading Girl t-shirt, a reference from my act. Okay, other than that, the LA Podcast Festival is coming up, you guys. It's where everybody gathers. And if you're coming to it, go to lapodfest.com and buy tickets and come to the Podcast Festival. It's the weekend of September 19th. If you can't make it, you can live stream all of them for a month. All of the different podcasts are being filmed and then live streamed and then saved for a month. So you can buy them all for $25 if you are not going to be able to make the Podcast Festival and you would like my podcast and everybody else's podcast in the whole world. Mark Maron's podcast is going to be there. Aisha Tyler's podcast is going to be there. Thrilling Adventure Hour is doing one. Paul Gilmartin, who was just on the show. And you can live stream all of it. It's $25 for all of them. You can save $5 if you use my code, which is DORK, D-O-R-K, oddly enough. And then it's $20 for everybody. My podcast is going to be 4 p.m. on Saturday, September 19th. My guest will be Greg Proops. And then I'm also doing Paul Gilmartin's podcast that night where we will open a vein and talk about any sort of mental illness that I might have because he has a thing called Mental Pod, Paul Gilmartin. That's at 10 p.m. All these times are Pacific. Now, when I do the live shows now, I'd make them premium episodes. That's on Bandcamp. So if you go to probably bandcamp.com/thedorkforest, I don't know, there's a link. And there's special their special premium episodes. I think they cost $2 because sometimes the live ones cost money to put up with the audio guy and the travel and the hotel and whatever. Other than that, there's, of course, a donation button on both dorkforest.com and jackiecation.com where you can donate to the show. If you are enjoying the show, feel free to donate. This has been a weird year financially. And so if you like the show, you could donate $10 a month. I haven't made that easy because I don't like regular money coming out of anything. So you just have to remember, oh, I like this show. Here's $10. And I'd love $100 from everybody. That's what I would love. If you have $100 a year, I would love that. And if you have more, God knows, I would love that too. But whatever you like, whatever you can afford, and if you can't afford any of it, that's fine. Don't worry about it. I'm glad you like the show. Talk it up. You can also support the show by buying merch, which we talked about, or using the Amazon banner on jackiecation.com, which is when you order from Amazon. And we all do. I'm almost certain we all do. I know it only works with the U.S. version of Amazon, though. But you click through to the U.S. Version of Amazon. You do your order just like normal. And it supports the show a little bit. And it doesn't cost you anything extra on Amazon. I do stand-up comedy, Jackie Cation does. And there is a tour page on JackieCation.com that tells you where I'll be doing it. It's an exciting time. Feel free to come and see me live. But for the love of everybody and their grandmother, let's get into the dorkdom of the day. Thanks for listening, you guys. Let's do this. Hey, it's Jackie Cation. Welcome to the Dork Forest. Guess who's back, you guys? It's Murray. Murray Valeriano.
Hey, you finally got my name right.
Got your name right.
After all these years.
11 years later, friend of the show, Murray back on the... It's at Murray V, though, so you don't even expect anyone to get it.
Well, after talking to you for 11 years, I'm like, why even try to attempt my last name on social media?
Exactly. Social media. So it's at Murray V on Twitter.
Yes, ma'am.
It's Murray... Valeriano.com.
Yes.
And it's spelled just like it sounds, you guys. Just like it sounds. But try to pronounce it and you're fucked. Anyway, and you have a new CD out called Rusty Cow.
Yes, I do. A new CD. I have Rusty Cow. You can get it on iTunes, Amazon.
All of the things. The standing up and doing of the comedy, Murray is excellent. And you guys know that
because
you've heard him 1,000 times before on the show, which is awesome. But you should always go see him do stand-up comedy when he does stand-up comedy. He brought with him a fellow stand-up comic
I can't pronounce his name. I've never got Murray's Valentino's name
Valentino,
right.
That's a good one.
Valentino.
See, and the weird thing is I have a street right by my house called Valerio, and that's the only way I can do it is if I go Valeriano.
Valeriano. It's not that hard.
It isn't that hard.
It's not.
That's how I remember to turn.
Yeah.
That's how I don't have to Google Maps it. I just turn it Valerio.
That's it. And the Australian voice that you're hearing is Monty Franklin.
Hello.
Spelled Monty Franklin.
Spelled like Valerio. Yeah, no.
It's spelled.
Spelled like it's spelled with a .com. And then if you go to at Monty Franklin and on all your popular social medias, you'll be there talking to people.
You'll get pictures you don't want to look at.
Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all of the things. Yeah. And you guys, Monty brought you because you guys do regular stand-up comedy. It's not just a Jutland Circuit black comedy, right?
No, but that's our favorite.
That is your favorite. But then also you have a themed show that you do that is surf-related because you are both surfers.
Yes.
Try.
Is that it? Is that all that could be said about it, surfing?
Yeah, you either try to surf or you're a professional surfer. That's it.
There's
no in-between.
It is kind of like golf. I read recently that golf, including professionals, 3% of all golfers shoot par or better.
Yeah.
So, and that's including professionals.
Yeah.
So it's
that
like
includes okay.
Yeah, that includes professionals and all. So
to be a really good surfer, you have to be so good that it's unbelievable. Like even if you're amazing and awesome and stuff, you're still not good enough.
Yeah. I have only seen clips of surfing. Have you watched surfing for hours?
That's all surfing is. It's just clips. Because if I go out in the surf, you think about it, you might be out in the surf for 4 hours. You might catch, I don't know, 20 waves that go for maximum of 5 to 8 seconds each.
Right.
So that's what surfing is. It's all clips.
Yeah. So I have seen surfing.
Yeah, you've seen a lot of surfing
if you've
watched
clips. You've seen a contest, actually.
So when you go out for 4 hours of surfing, you approximately get to be standing on the board riding a wave, if I'm pronouncing that correctly?
Sure, yes. Wave, yeah.
For 1 minute.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. And no, that's right.
Okay.
It's but I think that it is okay, first of all,
sure.
Surfing started in Hawaii. That's much right?
If you want to go back further, Polynesia is where surfing started.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Right.
But that is thousands and thousands and thousands of years ago.
Like more than 6,000 years ago? Because I don't think there were people.
Yes.
No, that's okay.
Definitely 10, well before people.
Well before people, it was all just otters.
Otters.
And they were just charging.
It's fantastic. So, yeah, so the Polynesian, but the Polynesian peoples started it, right? Going from, it was because they lived on archipelagos and it was a mode of travel to some extent, right?
As far as I know, Monty, you probably know more about this.
No, I just know that it started in ancient Polynesia, but it's only been in the sort of last century when surfing waves was a thing to do. You're right. In Polynesia, it was a reason for travel to get from one island to another island on a plank of huge piece of wood and stuff like that.
And right. Also for fishing.
Yeah.
And how long is like the sort of, it's an American sport, right?
I think the Australians dominate. I'll put it out there.
All right. Let's not start. No, it's a Polynesian sport.
It's a Polynesian sport, but when I feel like, it's only been around as a sport for, like, with contests. How long?
For, let's say, 50 years, it's been around as a sport, but it's only been a monetized sport where the people really making money for 30 years, maybe.
The 70s is when
the 70s. Like, 1960, people started sort of, like, looking at each other going, I can surf better than you. Let's
They had contests and stuff, but there was no major sponsors and stuff like that. Okay. So it was a very limited sport. People would do it purely just to have bragging rights. Oh, mm-hmm. I'm the best surfer in the local county. I'm the best surfer here and stuff. Then
but
it got,
now it's a team sport and everybody's super supportive, right?
Team, it's not really a team, really sport, team sport, but it is. You're right. I mean, Australia, Australians will back Australians. Hawaiians will back Hawaiians. Americans will back Americans.
Americans will back Australians.
Everyone backs Kelly Slater, basically, who's an American surfer.
But is he?
And he's like one of the best athletes ever. He's 11-time world champion.
Yeah, I think if you put it down, he is the most successful athlete of all time.
Okay, Kelly Slater.
Kelly Slater, He's 41
He's the most dominant
now.
Sportsman of all time.
Okay, and he is in his early 40s and he's still surfing?
Yeah.
I mean, once you learn how to surf, I mean, okay, I'm coming at this from the wrong end.
All right.
Know in your hearts that I know nothing about surfing.
Sure, this is why
I picked up on that.
That's it. I think. Yeah, did you get that? Did you get that part, Monty? Monty Franklin, you guys. .com. Anyway, so you guys, let's get a plug out by the way, just because you do a stand up show with comics who like to surf.
Sure.
And there's you.
Me. All right.
There's Monty.
Off. There's me.
There's Ian Bagg. No, I have no idea. I think he's a hockey player.
Ralphie May.
And, right. Other big guys.
I have a core group of guys. First of all, it's called Comics on Surfari.
Surfari. S-U-R. Is there a website that someone should go
to? There is Comics on Surfari, but it's down right now.
Fair enough.
A real problem with my websites right now.
So in the La Jolla Comedy Store, you're going to have a show there at the end of August?
Yeah, at the end of August. And we just did it down in La Jolla last month, and it was great. It was such a good show. A lot of people came out.
Is La Jolla attached to a body of water? Is it attached to the Pacific?
It's right
Pacific.
Next to in
is it right by
San
the
Diego.
Pacific? Oh, is it right by San Diego?
Yeah, it's the north side of San Diego.
There you go. Excellent. And So that's kind of nice. So a lot of people like surfing.
Mm-hmm.
People enjoy stand-up comedy.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so you're putting up a show.
But here's the deal. The comedy has nothing to do with surfing. You don't have to be a surfer to enjoy it. It's just Monty doing his act. It's me. It's Graham Elwood. It's Andy Wood. Mike Siegel.
It's an excuse for us to get together so we can go surfing and then do a show afterwards.
Oh, I see. You're like, oh, let's go down to La Jolla. And at the end of it, we might make, whatever, a couple of bucks.
Sure.
Yeah. And then we'll drive home.
Yeah.
That's
how we did La Jolla last time.
Do you surf most days?
I used to.
I do.
I think Murray still does. And
yeah,
he's got kids.
I went out today.
I'm just pathetic.
Right. So do you live far away from, do you live by the ocean?
You've been to my house, huh?
I have.
Yeah. It's 2.7 miles from the ocean.
Yeah, but you got to get in a car, and is it boarded? Like, you have to bring it on top of your car?
I put it on top of my car, unless it's in my shortboard, then I'll put it in my car.
Okay. All right. Things are happening.
I feel like you're intimidated by this subject.
Well, it's – no. I am always – I've
for the listeners, she just wrote shortboard down.
Right. Because the thing is sometimes I have some information about what the dorkdom is.
Okay.
I have got nothing.
All right.
I got nothing on this. Ooh, I know is that it's usually guys not wearing any shirts. And then
I saw
– I think I saw
some movie that had Aaron Rodgers in it that was set in...
Who's Aaron Rodgers?
He's a football player
from
Wisconsin, and that's the only reason I know that. He's, he's the quarterback. No, it had Brett Favre in it. He used to be the quarterback.
Was that Chasing Mavericks?
No, it was set in Hawaii, and it was one of the
Was it Blue Crush?
Yep.
Oh, it's the worst.
That's the best. Sorry, the worst.
No, what I liked was the message, was that true happiness is found with corporate sponsorship.
Yeah.
That was the message
that was
of Blue
basically,
Crush.
Yeah.
And it was, and it seemed like an okay message if you were a professional surfer, because that really would help. But that's the only surfing movie I've
There has never been, in my opinion, a good surfing movie. Can you?
I thought Big Frankie. Wednesday.
Even
was
Big Wednesday
good.
is like the seminal surf movie that everybody. Yeah.
I thought that was a good movie, but that was back in the 70s or something.
74
or something like that. And Frankie Avalon. You guys see those ones back in the 60s?
No.
No? All right. Those ones
Beach
were...
Blanket Bingo.
Yeah, Beach Blanket
and,
Bingo and all that. Those were very popular.
Yeah.
Those are nice. Probably available on your Netflix.
And, look into
that's
that.
Actually
I
what...
might be a bigger dork than you guys. That's what it might actually turn
I did
out
like the Endless Summer episode. Movies. One and two. They were good.
Yeah, but that's... those are documentaries. Those aren't...
Oh, okay.
Oh, you mean like a I would actually...
What's
dramatized
the one, what's,
sort of movie.
Yeah, what's the documentary where the guy gets flown out into the middle of the ocean and wants to ride the giant waves? Did you guys ever see that?
What, is this the Red Bull one with Ross Clark Jones?
Is Red Bull, was it sponsored by
It's a sponsorship,
Red Bull?
Yeah, yes.
Sponsored
nice so he's achieved happiness.
I think it was just some dude who wanted to ride like giant elephant waves. Or
all right, I think I know.
There's
the
been
one
a few of those.
About. That was called.
Okay, so there's a couple of those.
Because there's a whole other movement of surfing, which is called big wave surfing, which is it's basically for adrenaline junkies. To me, it's not really surfing. It's you got to be towed in by a jet ski, or you're taking on 60-foot, 100-foot wave.
Surfing. Don't listen to old man Murray.
That's true.
Right?
I am an old dude.
It's I also saw Dogtown and Z Boys.
Great documentary.
That. They liked surfing, but then they couldn't surf sometimes, so they skateboarded.
Yeah.
So
that's where I surf primarily in Dogtown a lot because it's right down the street from my house.
Okay.
And I surf with all those guys.
All right, so let's talk. Who are still alive? Let's do the surfing thing. There's different kinds of boards.
Sure,
correct.
There's short boards and long boards. Mm-hmm. I assume there would be a long board because I've written down the word short board.
Yeah.
how long is a short board?
Short board, no longer. I guess it depends, but sort of the difference is a long board, as you might have remembered from the 60s. Massive in length and usually has one big fin at the back. Okay?
Right, and it's taller than people.
It is, twice the size of people. Now, a shortboard...
Well, a longboard starts at 9 foot, right? Is that
well,
right?
I don't think it necessarily matters because you can have a big gun that's 10 foot.
That's true,
but
too.
But the difference is it has... shortboards have three fins. So in the 70s, when boards went from being long Malibu-type boards with one big fin, a guy invented the thruster, which is three fins.
Okay.
So it has two and then one at the back. And that's essentially what a shortboard is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's narrow and smaller and is more maneuverable. It's like if you get on a wave on a big big board like a Malibu, you're kind of cruising. You're standing there and you look cool and you kind of cruise along. On the shortboard, you're darting around. You're smashing the lip. You're moving. You're flying. People are doing somersaults and flips and crazy
doing
stuff
airs
now.
You can do tricks and stuff.
Now trickery is happening because of the smaller boards.
A lot of skateboarding moves have moved into surfing.
And you can't really do them on a longboard because the board's
I've seen
too
people
long.
Do them. But
have you?
Yeah, but it's a massive. It's way heavier. It's way bigger.
Yeah.
Well, now that brings up the safety of a board, like because you're in the ocean. The board is, what if you don't lose the board because it's attached to your leg, right?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, you got a leg rope, so it's attached to your leg so it doesn't fly.
But doesn't it
also
fly
also called
into
a leash in America.
Yes, all the time.
I have a friend who got 26 stitches in his head from catching a fin.
Catching the fin part of the board.
The fin part of the board.
Because can you get knocked out?
Sure. You've been knocked out?
Uh-huh. Awful.
You're unconscious in water.
Well, yeah, I mean, it wasn't for a long time. I did go smack in the head and went under and lost where I was for a second, then came back up.
Mm-hmm. Right. But it sounds dangerous. It sounds
like
it is
very.
Like it has that. Look, surfing's a dangerous sport, yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I don't think the board's the most dangerous bit.
The board's the most dangerous? No.
I think it's up there. The board with the crowd?
Yeah, you do have a vessel that's right there that could smash you in the face. But the difference, why surfing is dangerous is because you're in unpredictable territory. Every other sport, is sort of okay. Yeah, even snowboarding or skiing, you know, okay, that's not going to change while I'm going down this run right now.
That is a mountain. Yes, it's a stationary mountain.
Yeah, it's a stationary thing. The ocean's up moving. And... There's currents. There's water. There's animals. There's idiots. Right. There's a lot of stuff.
Now I had a friend who just took a surfing lesson.
Sure.
It seemed to be. Is that how you guys learned how to surf? Did you take lessons when you were kids, or did you just?
No, I was. I mean, I started when I was really young, so it was just a matter of jumping in and learning. Okay, that's not right. That works like that way. So it was more like I learned how to swim in the surf.
Okay.
We should preface this by saying, you know, Monty's from Australia. In Australia, surfing is like baseball over there. You know what I mean? It's a national sport.
Well, not necessarily Melbourne. Just surfing, but being in the surf is. 90% of the population of Australia live on the coastline. So most people know how to handle themselves in the water, the waves, the currents, everything like that.
Aren't contests on the news? And like if Mick Fanning wins a contest, it's in their sporting news?
Yeah, but that it's not every week. It's only when it's an Australian event.
Oh, okay.
When Bells is on or when the Quickie Pro is on, will they?
And there's only the four channels and there's 30 million people.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you just got to – there's not as much news. There's just like – I mean, they got to go overseas and get other shitty news. And they're like, well, we might as well talk about – I was just on somebody's podcast, The Green Guide. Mm-mm. I love The Green Guide.
Oh, yeah. Steele Saunders.
Steele Saunders. And it was just – there was people reviewing the news.
Yeah.
They write into the
hilarious.
Green
Oh, is that what that is?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Because I remember seeing it at PodFest last
genuinely
year.
Genuinely hilarious.
Oh, yeah. Check it out.
People are there's a lot of free time, as we all know.
Yeah.
And in Australia, that free time manifests itself with some reviewing of the news.
Yeah, it's a lot more laid back. There's time to review the
Steele Saunders is an Australian cat.
Yep.
Yeah, okay. Comic as well.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, I saw it at I didn't see it, but I saw it was on the list of PodFest last year.
Yeah, and it's but so you grew up surfing outside of Melbourne?
Yeah.
Or did you go on holiday and then do surfing? Is there surfing outside of Melbourne? I did not.
Yeah, an hour out of
that.
Melbourne's on a bay, so you go outside the bay, and there's some of the best surf in the world is down in Victoria.
Okay.
Victoria gets big swells because it's down the bottom of Australia, and all the swell sort of comes up from Antarctica and around the Pacific. There's a lot of water moving around in that part of the world.
Okay,
so it all sort of gets there, and there a lot of big surf is there.
I have a question for you, Monty. Is that more winter swell? Does it happen at a certain time of year?
Yeah, I mean it is.
We get our winter swells here coming out.
Winter always provides bigger swell everywhere.
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 Oh, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. So surfing is kind of a winter sport?
Real surfers will wait for winter.
Yeah. Okay.
Summer surfers wait for summer.
In Southern California, this is a winter break. So the best waves in here are in the wind, January, February, March.
So right now, which we are in July at this time, they're just okay.
They're just, we got hurricane season down south in Mexico.
Lucky
us. Yeah.
Everybody praise hurricane season.
The hurricanes will bring swells and warm water up to us. So we got a little bit of a hurricane swell going on right now. I surfed this morning.
Oh, wow. Okay. Did you surf this morning?
No, I haven't surfed in weeks. I feel awful.
Monty calls me, he says, I've become the person I used to make fun of.
Yeah, I've become everything I hated.
Because he doesn't get out much.
Just been too busy. And I live in West Hollywood now, which it's at least 40 minutes to get down to the beach. And crossing that 405, that's a huge mental barrier. You can't do that.
It is. It is a huge mental barrier. I live in the valley. So I got to cross a mountain range and then the 405. Yeah. So
I'm very scared driving out here.
I'm very fortunate because my wife went back to work on a movie this summer, and so I'm taking care of our son Frank, and my son Frank goes to camp from 9 till 1, I can get out and surf.
He has a job.
Just about every morning. Yeah, he has a job.
Frank's got a job.
So I can get out and surf just about every morning.
And
even though it's 2.7 miles, which apparently is a huge jaunt for you.
Yeah, it's a journey.
I get to the beach in 4 minutes.
So you don't bring Frank to the beach. You don't bring the boy.
No, but he'll
he's
start.
Too little,
he'll start this summer. He can swim and loves the pool. So
and
I just took off his floaty the other day because he had lessons. And the first thing he said was, "Now I can go surfing with you, Dad." because he took his floaty off.
And is 9 a.m. a good time to go surfing? What's the best hours of the day?
Generally not really. For here, I don't know how it is in Australia, but here the earlier in the morning, the wind comes up around 10 o'clock here, and it blows out the waves. So
everywhere I've been in the world, it's better to go in the morning.
It goes like
the wind
with
is still
dawn, to some extent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's less wind.
Mm-hmm. There's less wind,
and that's good.
Yeah, because you want the water to be calm while you're surfing. You want there to be swell, so you want wind to be 1,000 miles offshore, blowing crazy hurricanes, so that swell comes in. But we're at the coastline where you want to surf, you want dead calm, mm-hmm. or at least a bit of offshore.
You have to paddle out. You get on you put your surfboard on your car.
Or in.
You drive your 2 points. Let's break it down for Jackie. You put it on the car, you drive, you park. Does it cost money to park?
Sometimes.
But I got a parking permit, so
you bought sort of a year or month.
Yeah, a year long California permit.
So you take the board off, mm-hmm. pad pad pad, you go down to the sand.
What's pad pad pad?
That's you walking.
Oh, okay.
The stomping of the walk.
Are you wearing an outfit? Is there a wetsuit?
There's a wetsuit.
Okay,
I wore trunks today. I didn't wear a wetsuit.
With footies?
Yeah. Oh, nice.
Is it cold?
Booties is what they call footies.
Okay, not footies. Okay, but
the water in Southern California is quite cold. It has currents that come up from Mexico sometimes, and the water just is freezing for no reason.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It never gets over 70. 70 is the warmest it'll get here.
Okay.
And that only sees maybe 2 weeks out of the year.
But I was down in Nicaragua surfing about a month or two ago, and that was like a bath. The water was so good.
Costa Rica's the same way.
Uh-huh. So nice.
Okay.
And it's so funny to see the tourists come to California in August, and they're all excited. We're here again. And they take off all their clothes, and they run into the ocean, and they turn around, fuck, and they run back out because it's freezing.
Right. And now, are you on Venice Beach with your board?
I've surfed Venice, yeah.
Are you further south or further north?
I go to a bunch of different beaches. Today I surfed in Topanga, which is way north. That's almost Malibu. So that's way north of Venice.
Okay. So that's not 2.7 miles.
That one's not, but the local break, I call it the dad break. It's the one where all of us have to... We have to suffer not as good of waves because we only have a little bit of time.
Oh, right.
That's straight down. That's Ocean Park. That's straight down
the
Ocean Park.
The surf in Santa Monica and Venice isn't great.
Yeah. Okay.
Because the swell's blocked by Catalina.
Island.
The island blocks the swell. Blocks the south surf.
Okay. By the south swells.
Yeah.
If we get the northern ones, that'll pick
is
up the Santa Monica.
Is there surfing off of Catalina Island?
Yes, very good.
Oh, is there? I didn't know that.
My brother-in-law went out there on a boat and said it was unbelievable.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, good to know.
Yeah.
That's kind of amazing.
Yeah.
And because it's got to be less populated, which has got to be part of it, right?
Yeah.
Because you don't want 13 people just bumping into each other.
I would love to have
13 people.
Oh, really?
Do you know how many people I counted out one day on the break where I live in Australia?
No.
380 people.
All with their own boards.
All with their own boards. All within like the space of a quarter of a football field.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
I was at County Line, which is a local break here.
This is where surfing etiquette and localism comes into it.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, what is the surfing etiquette when there's that many people?
You kind of know. And it's kind of a thing. You paddle out and you can tell that 80% of the people out there are kind of crap and shit. And you go, okay, you're not counted.
Okay.
You're not counted in the lineup right now.
Yeah. All right. You don't get any, consideration.
I know that you're not going to get in the right position and you're not going to get there. So I have to concentrate. No. I have to concentrate on the 20 to 30 guys who I know are going to paddle in the right way and stuff. There's going to be a couple of aggressive guys who still can't surf well, so they can paddle for the wave, fall over, and then I can go on the wave.
Like, okay.
There's a lot of things you got to figure out, but you figure it out quick.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Now, there are some unwritten rules in the water.
Okay.
And a couple of them, first of all, is don't drop in. Yep. That's the biggest one. That's when somebody's in a wave. You don't paddle in and cut them off and go in front
of
them.
Go on their wave. It's their wave. If they're on the wave, it's their wave.
Yeah.
Okay. So wait for the next wave.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the other major rule is, and this varies, this can either be who has the right of way, is either it's the person closest to the curl, to where the water's breaking.
Okay.
Or it's the person who was up first. But
stands up.
Yeah, but generally it's closest to the curl has the right of way.
I always say stand up first.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, and this is why we fight every time we go out.
Well, you should stand up first.
Get up. Stand up. Stand up for your rights. And so the so I
and get out of the way if you're whoever's on the wave. It's if you're paddling out, it's your job to get out of the way of the guy on the
wave.
Yeah.
Because there's hundreds and hundreds of people.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Holy crap.
Yeah. People smash into each other all the time, and there's fights, and there's.
That's how my buddy got stitches in his face. That's how I got hit in the throat with a board and lost my voice for 2 weeks.
You need that. That's what that's your moneymaker. Right?
I got hit by a canoe.
And Monty wins the podcast.
What kind of canoe?
A huge like surf ski canoe. I'm looking up to go, ah, and this guy's going sorry, and he had this huge boat.
There's no boating.
Yeah,
boating. Why is there boating on the curl?
Hilarious.
So are there jet ski people trying to ride the waves as well?
No, jet skis generally they might come in, but they'll get yelled at pretty quick to get away if they're because jet ski just churns up all the water, which is what I was saying before. You don't want any wind because mm-hmm. it's not about mm-hmm. you paddling out and that being a problem or anything. It's you want a clean surface of a wave,
okay,
to ride along so it's clean and smooth. Jet skis come along and put ripples and everything, and they stuff everything up.
Oh, right.
We don't care if they're making noise and stuff. Yeah, it doesn't bother us.
Polluting
it's them,
the air.
It's them churning up all the...
They're making it all
the,
bubbly.
Yeah. Bubbly. Yeah. Yeah.
And it's killing the form of the wave. I mean, if you have what's called onshore winds, it's just folding the wave over.
Okay.
But if you have offshore, a nice offshore breeze, that'll hold the wave up and kind of give it something to fight against. And that'll hollow it out.
So you got a wall to work with.
That'll hollow it out, and you can get barreled. And
you want to, surf the inside of that curl, right? You're not on top of the, you're not on top of the outside of the curl.
No. Well, yeah, but no, you want to surf on the inside of the wave bit. Okay. Yes.
And you're going across the face of the wave, not straight into the beach.
And that only lasts like 10 seconds, the wave.
Peru has literally mile-long waves.
Okay, so...
It's like the best left
break. It
does. It
depends where you are. This competition that we were talking about that was on a few weeks ago, Jay Bay, Jeffrey Bay in South Africa, you could probably get a two-minute wave there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So when you're standing and you're riding it, it's all about balance? Is that it? Because you're trying to stay
in the very beginning,
right?
It's about balance, yes.
Okay.
And then once you get balanced down, then you got to start doing stuff.
What do you have to do when you're in the barrel?
Stand there.
Just stand there and let the wind break your hair, and it's awesome.
Yeah. You get pictures.
Sweet.
You go home and sleep with Jigget. Yeah. Jigget? Gidget.
And Halle Berry brings you a beer. It's very exciting.
It is. It's a great day.
Well, most of the maneuvers you're doing are to help you stay in that wave.
Right.
You know, except for when you get into the tricks and stuff. Yeah. As you go back to old school longboarding.
Yeah, just regular, standing there.
You're keeping your momentum going.
Yeah.
So how do you do that if it's not, is it the way you're shifting your weight to make sure that you're on the right part of the wave?
Have you, picture it this way, have you seen skateboarders on like a ramp and they go up high to go back down again?
Yep.
That's basically what you're doing on a wave. Yeah. You go up high to go back down again to go quick.
Okay,
go up high again, go back down again quick.
You get up on the wave so that you can come back down and get a little momentum again.
Yeah, so you go up and then down, and then you go back up and then you go back down. And before you know it, you've got this momentum going and stuff, and then you can, you know,
and then you can
slash around and you can hit the wave with your board. And you
cut backs and rail grabs and...
Sure.
Yeah.
Paul Rodriguez comes over.
Yeah.
He's a skateboarder. Anyway, so.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He's a really good skateboarder.
So
it's Rodriguez's kid.
Right. It's a stand-up comic. Rodriguez's kid.
Paul Rodriguez.
Paul Rodriguez, the stand-up comic, has a son who is a very famous.
Professional
and
skater.
I go to a.
Are they related?
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Yes. And I got to meet him the other day because he goes to the gym where I get my knee fixed.
Uh-huh.
And his physical therapist is my physical therapist and whatever. Mm-hmm. Very nice young man.
I met him on... I used to work for a network called Fuel TV, which was the surf skating... And so I used to be on a show called The Daily Habit every once in a while. And Paul Rodriguez was on and his son was on. So
I
met him. Yeah.
Was The Daily Habit... a surf skating
thing? Daily Habit was like an ex- alternative sports show, but then they tried to morph it. They tried to turn it into like a Chelsea Lately type thing. So they had a panel with comics and skaters and, you know, riffing on stuff. And like Graham Elwood was on it a lot. Joe Sib, myself, Jeff Tully produced it. I don't know if you know Jeff Tully.
Okay.
He's an old stand up turn producer.
Do you know any women comics who surf? That's the word I'm looking
for. We've got one that works with us called Allie Breen.
Oh, Allie Breen. I know her.
She surfs. She just hosted the La Jolla show.
And she hosts the, and she gets, and so she does the stand, she goes mm-hmm. surfing with you guys and then does the stand up at the different places. Surfari?
That's an old 60s term about surfers traveling the world to go surfing. This is a very white male show.
Right.
I admit, but I always say, if you know a professional comedian of color who surfs, I'm happy to have them on. This is just, you know, there's a couple factors.
You should look into, you should Google the words Hawaiian comedians in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
You might find a dude or two.
Does Kermit surf?
Kermit Apio? I think he has.
Okay. I'll talk to him. He's going to be on my podcast next month.
Okay. Kermit Apio, a great Seattle comic, you guys.
But he's from Hawaii, right?
He is Hawaiian.
Okay.
And I think he has, and he goes back fairly often. Mm-hmm. His
hilarious
family,
dude.
His family there. Very funny.
Hilarious dude.
So you guys, when you started doing stand-up, it was stand-up here, right? It was stand-up in Melbourne. It was stand-up here in the United States.
Yeah.
And then you said, oh, I understand there's a great wave in Peru. So that is where your travel dollars go to find waves? You're not going to like the Parthenon. You want to go look for a place to stick your board.
It
got dirty.
I mean, no. Well,
I'm always looking for a place to stick my board, Jackie Cation.
Yep.
Sometimes I'll specifically just go surf.
Just to surf,
I went to Nicaragua just to go surfing. I didn't want to do anything else, and I didn't. Mm-hmm. I was there for 7 days, and I surfed 25 times in seven days.
That's awesome.
Oh, wow.
So I did nothing but surf and then go straight to bed.
Yeah. It was a surf vacation.
It was all it was.
My last trip to Costa Rica, me and my brother went. It was the same thing. We just went to surf and we got literally a shack just off the beach. It was like $25 a day and there was nothing to do except surf. We had to drive into town to get
food
and stuff.
Beverages.
And it was great. I really loved it. And I love the fact that I was out at the beach one day and one dude was trying to sell his board so he could get a plane ticket home because he had been there for 6 months.
Oh, my God.
You know?
Yeah. So, I mean, you got to meet like some of the craziest. I mean, because it sounds addictive. It sounds like people are like constantly, they're like, I have to figure out how to surf.
Yeah. There's only one person I met who didn't instantly love it when they started. And I hope I'm not outing you, Laura House, but
Laura House tried to do it.
Yeah, and
just did not enjoy it.
She didn't enjoy it, and I think she actually might have gotten hurt.
Okay.
So she's on her first time out, so she did not enjoy it at all.
I've met a lot of people who haven't enjoyed surfing, and I know exactly how they feel and why they haven't enjoyed it. It's because surfing is, like we said before,
difficult
because the waves are coming from everywhere, every mm-hmm. single direction. There's water moving. You have to navigate that first before you can even learn how to stand up on a board. Like I went snowboarding for the first time and I didn't love it, but I enjoyed it because I could do it straight away. Because all you had to do was stand up and go down the mountain. And I kind of got it after a while, and I fell on my ass a few times, but I didn't have the mountain just punching me in the face.
And chasing you.
And then someone else yelling at me and chasing me and then pulling me under, and the threat of like a bear just jumping out for no reason. Like, this is what the surf is. So
sorry, Monty, go ahead.
Yeah, people just, they freak out. Like, they think, oh, I'm going to jump and stand in the wave. It's going to be fun. No,
they think it's like those old Gidget movies where the sun's out and the waves are waist high and everybody's surfing a longboard together.
And then they're singing, you guys. Oh, they're singing.
Oh, there's always singing out there.
Somebody's playing.
Oh, that's
some
that,
white guy's
that
playing
happening.
A ukulele
a
out there.
It's always a good sing-along out in the surf.
Excellent.
Wearing a straw hat.
As long as the music, man, is actually happening while you're surfing.
Everybody asks me, what's the hardest part about surfing? And my answer is always everything. Everything about surfing is difficult.
The hardest part about surfing is finding where to surf. You just spend hours driving somewhere and then go, oh, let's check that other spot. Oh, let's go back to the first spot we checked. Oh, no, maybe the other spot was better. And before you know it, you've spent three hours looking for a wave,
the
PCH. You finally get down into the water, catch like 20 waves, did I say? That's a lot.
Yeah.
You might catch one wave in a session and then drive all the way home all day and you've just caught one wave and it's worth it.
Oh, yeah.
It's totally worth it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
One wave can I think about this one wave that I caught in Nicaragua like most nights before I go to sleep.
Sure.
It was that good.
That big swell we had last summer, I think about the first one I caught, which was double overhead.
Yeah, it can even be a turn, one turn that you do, not even a wave, like just a turn, and you remember that, and you're just like, oh.
That made it all glorious.
You could be out there just bumming for an hour and a half, man, and then you have like 5 minutes to go, and this nice shoulder-high, clean-faced wave comes in, and you catch that, and you're like, that's fucking great. Yeah. I'm ready to go on with my day.
Right.
When I'm on staff writing on TV shows, I get up at like 5:30 and go surf. And the days I do that, man, is just the day is so much better for me and my attitude. Right. And then I have to nap at lunch because I got up at fucking 5:30.
Right, but it's such a commitment of like, because a board's got to cost. I mean, what? How much is a basic board? Like starting out, if you were just going to buy
$300.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, you can buy a used one. My buddy just got a really nice used one for $150 off Craigslist.
Okay.
I know a lot of people in the industry now, and you can get a. Just come and use it. I've only used it a couple of times. Take that. And
okay.
My brother-in-law works for a surf company, and some of the surfers there, like, if you're in surfing, it's cheap because you can find it. But if you're not, and you go to a store and you go, what? That's $800 for a surfboard.
Right.
And,
but still, in the overall expense of things, you buy a board, you buy a wetsuit.
Cheaper than snowboarding.
You're done.
Okay.
You know, golf
lift
is
tickets.
Oh, right. There's no lift.
Golf is clubs, greens fees. Yeah.
Right.
You know, memberships. This is just a board and a wetsuit if you need it, and parking.
Right. So it might
be
an initial investment of $800 or $1,000.
Yeah.
Because a wetsuit's got to be a couple hundred dollars too, right?
Yeah, a few hundred bucks.
Yeah, so it might be $600.
Yeah.
And then you have the equipment to do it.
And that wetsuit and that board can last you. A decade.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Well, not the wetsuit.
I've had my board for 4 years.
Okay.
I've had a green longboard I've had for 10 years. I mean, it looks like it, but I've had it for 10 years. Of course, I don't really ride it that often, but still.
Right.
But a wetsuit, if you surf as much as I do and Monty does, I go through a wetsuit like once every year and a half, though.
Okay. Because they're it's clothing. It's got to wear on.
Yeah. And
they get pretty gunky.
Everything about ocean water. Everything that goes salt water kills everything. Even
right?
Stuff made to go in salt water, it kills.
And what about like chemical? Like, there's signs that say you can't swim some of those places.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, there's chemical waste, or there's the, you know, Mr. Burns factory is being.
Los Angeles has the worst drainage system because back in whenever they were building Los Angeles, they built all the grates and sewers you see in the street. All that empties into the ocean.
Okay.
So every.
It's just foul.
Yeah.
If there's
every
a big storm,
cigarette.
No one surfs for a couple of days.
You're supposed to stay out of it. I still do. You're supposed to stay out of the water 72 hours after it rains here in Los Angeles.
Well, thank God we're in a drought, you guys.
Yeah.
Huh?
Well,
because then you can.
You'd
really
keep saying
out.
That every day. I'd praise the drought.
It's funny because the drought is affecting surfing because where we talked about how crappy Santa Monica is, it's extra crappy now because it needs sandbars to build and there's no rain. And there's no storms to develop the sandbars,
okay.
The surf has been extra crappy from the drought. So.
Just on the subject of drought, but California's not in a drought. Okay, go to Australia and see what a drought is.
See what an actual drought looks like.
See what a 30-year drought is.
Oh, that's right. I didn't even thought about
that. You guys have that. You have Innocent Joe with the Citadel, and then everybody shows up with their wicker baskets.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
You didn't see Mad
this a,
Max?
Is this a video game?
Mad Max Fury Road. There's a giant skull where everyone's like, and he opens up like an aquifer from under the ocean, and all this water comes out, and there are people, they're like, with wicker fucking baskets collecting it. And I was like, oh, they're going to put that in Sacramento.
That's exactly that's exactly what happens.
That's what Australia's like.
That's how we have to shower in a wicker basket. Just on the head.
Wicker. Fucking hate it.
Who loves wicker?
I don't know who likes wicker. It's noisy.
You ever heard anyone say, you know what, I love wicker?
Wicker's amazing. Rattan. I'm just going to go all the different bamboo. I just love all different reed-based furniture. Fuck. Anyway, pardon
Hilarious.
My language. I'm swearing up a storm.
Hilarious.
So you have been, now you've said that you've been in Nicaragua.
Yeah.
And you were in Costa Rica. Mm-hmm. You talked about Peru. And then there was this South African.
I've never been to South Africa.
I've never been to South Africa either. Yeah.
This is the surfing, professional surfing tour. They stop in South Africa and that's where they were a month ago.
It's called the WS.
WSL now. World Surfing League.
World Surfing League. It just gotten taken over.
And so it is, it got taken over?
It just changed. It used to be...
It used to be ASP.
Yeah.
Okay.
It doesn't matter. These are details that are boring.
Yeah.
Some sort of corporation.
We've already took the fun out of surfing already. Yeah. Let's not go into.
but they do film those the big contests.
Yeah. There's I don't know, like a dozen major contests a year.
It's a tour. It's like a regular.
And so the best surfers in the world will compete on this tour. And it's a lot like the tennis tour. So, you know, there's a stop in England.
Wimbledon.
Or golf.
Wimbledon's a big one, right? So there was just a big one on in South Africa.
Jeffrey's Bay.
That was a big one. And,
How many people are in a contest usually? Like, do they have...
They have 30, they whittle 36. It down. They have 40, I think, now.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And they whittle it down to just 40. And then it's got to be the luck of the draw to some extent, right? Because when you go out.
Yes and no.
Yeah.
Surfing is still competitive and you think that it's a one-on-one thing and, oh, but he got the waves. But they're out there paddling in the right spot. They're getting themselves psyched up and they're yelling at the other guy. There's a lot of stuff in surfing that is...
Mind games, absolutely.
Sure.
And that's why this guy who we brought up, Kelly Slater, that's why he's so good. He's so good at competing.
Mm-hmm.
Because competing surfing is a lot different than free surfing. If you go and watch a bunch of professional surfers out free surfing, they're all laughing and flipping around and doing hilarious stuff.
Okay.
Competitive surfing is they are looking at the waves. They're not talking to each other and having fun. They are surfing. They are competing.
Right. And what take someone from someone who just loves to surf and surfs every day to a professional surfer. Is it athleticism or
I think
like
it
everything?
Is. Yeah. I think the difference is there's thousands of free surfers in the world that are unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
And they release movies and people watch them. And there's a guy called Dane Reynolds, who arguably is the best surfer in the world because he's so good to watch.
Right.
It's like watching Michael Jordan running around and you're just in awe. Yeah. But he's not a very good competitive surfer.
Okay.
He'll get in a competition and he'll get a wave and it won't go the way that he wants and he'll be like, ah, like that. And as opposed to being an athlete who has a competitive nature, will go, okay, let that behind me. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go and catch another wave now. I have 30 minutes to catch these waves to beat this guy. Whereas he's like, I want to show, you know.
Yeah.
It's a different thing.
Yeah.
And I don't think he's ever won a competition.
Okay. Mm. But there's got to be videos of Dane Reynolds.
Oh, sure.
The best videos you've ever seen.
The best videos you've ever seen.
Sure.
He gets paid more than any surfer on the planet.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah,
Dane does?
Well, someone will ring up and go, no, you're wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
But I know that he gets more than Kelly Slater.
Okay.
I surfed with him down at Trestles one time, and he just lighting the place up, man.
I was out with about 20 of them at Trestles once, and I just looked like a dick.
Yeah. What's Trestles?
Trestles is a great break down
between
here
in San Diego,
and it's one of the stops on the tour. It's a world class break.
Oh, okay,
and so when they have the competition down there, and you paddle out on like at the evening for an evening surf, and they're all out surfing, you're just you're not getting a wave,
right?
But you're in awe watching the 10 best surfers in the world just rip up your local break.
Oh wow! So if there's 40 surfers and they essentially it's a timed kind of competition, is that the
in
deal?
Heats? It goes in heats.
So you got 30 minutes. It's you. Most competitions are you versus one other surfer for 30 minutes. You can catch as many waves as you want, but only the best two waves
two
that you catch.
Right.
There's a bunch of judges sitting there giving you a 9 or an 8 or a 10 or a 7 or a whatever. The best
one
two
to ten.
Score,
yeah. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Best two scores that you have combined is what your total score is.
Okay, and then it goes against everybody. It's not just one on one.
No,
it go...
then it's a knockout. Yes.
Yeah. Then
so
you,
that
then
knockout.
You
so then that
they take
progress.
Like the top 5 or the whatever.
Exactly the same format as tennis.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So these two play, these two play, these two play.
I don't know anything about tennis. I should have some tennis.
As an avid surfer, I am, and I love it. And it's...
You love tennis? Cool.
It's probably my favorite thing to do is surf. I'm not at all interested in the competitions.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I love watching the competitions.
I don't follow the tour. I'll watch it for the surfing.
Yeah.
But I don't follow the tour. I don't know who's ranked 5 or anything like that.
I do. I like it. I like following it because I've followed sport when I was a kid, followed football in Australia. And then I come here and I didn't really find a sport to follow. I like football and basketball and stuff, but I don't know what's going on, but I know what's going on with surfing, so right. I like to follow it.
But I think maybe that's it, because I was never an athlete growing up, and I didn't like sports either.
You didn't like any of them.
Yeah, I didn't like any of them.
Well, the only sports I do like to watch are like X Games kind of things. Like and only in passing. Like, I don't know enough about them, but I enjoy watching great athletes do amazing things.
Yeah.
Right? So I watched. Like, if I'm flipping channels and there's the diving competitions.
I love watching the diving.
Those are amazing.
It's the best. I could watch diving all day.
I could watch, and I like cliff diving the best.
Cliff diving is cool.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that's insane.
It's crazyville.
Mm-hmm. And, I like synchronized diving.
Oh my God, look at them.
It's perfect.
Together. They're both perfect.
Look at
together.
They together. Do it. It's like
but
magic
I would
no horses. Splash.
I would rather watch, and a lot of professional surfers and non-professional surfers release movies of them surfing and different,
right.
And I would rather throw that on and watch
Who's
that than a competition.
Are there people on surfboards filming them?
There's water surfers.
They film on jet skis. They
helicopters.
Okay. The water,
now drones.
Yeah, a lot
oh,
of stuff.
Drones?
Yeah, drones. The drones footage of surfing right now is incredible because they're getting into places they've never been able to get in before.
Oh,
surf, surf film industry is quite big. There's a lot of good directors. There's money in it, a lot of money.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
there's really good.
People are willing to pay for them.
Yeah,
sure.
And there's great movies that have come out, like very good quality,
And very like artistic cinematography and stuff. Like my favorite surfer is Rob Machado.
Yeah.
And he had an amazing surf movie out a couple of years ago, which didn't have enough surfing in it as far as I'm concerned. But
I've been playing guitar.
I don't know if you
stuff.
Ever saw A River Runs Through It.
Sure.
Which is the Brad
fly
Pitt
fishing.
Movie, right? Fly
yeah.
fishing. My brother's a big fly fisherman. And we came out of it. He said, yeah, that was beautiful. Didn't have enough fishing.
We lost an hour and a half of Brad casting into the, oh, this is good.
That's all we wanted to watch. That's what that reminded me of.
How could you watch fishing? Like, I understand people want to go fishing, but watching fishing.
Oh, my God. He can watch how people cast for days.
Look at him go.
Well, I remember when my wife and I first started dating, and she's like, what are you gonna do tonight? I'm like, I just got this new surf flick. I'm gonna watch. She's like, oh, I'd love to come watch it. And so I'm like, okay. And she works in movies, and she's
right.
a big movie buff. And she threw it on, and like 10 minutes into it, she's like, so this is just surfing? I'm like, yeah. So this is a movie of somebody surfing. Yeah. And so she
there's
went
no
home.
Arc.
I find there's no character arc.
No. It's just
there's
it's,
no third
it's music
act.
And it's essentially, if you don't know what surfing is, it's the same thing over and over and over again. It's the same move. Like, if you didn't know, you'd go, are we watching the same thing over? But for like Murray and myself, we know that, that's have you ever been in a bar and surfing is on the TV? I can't talk to anyone.
Oh, yeah.
I find myself just staring at this thing, and I find it strange.
Oh,
that
Islands. Islands will show surfing videos.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
hilarious.
That's a chain.
Now that
yeah.
we're going for dinner.
All right.
I found one in Vegas, man, at like 2 in the morning. I was working the Improv, and I went over to see Dennis Blair play in a band like down the street in Vegas. And on the way back, I stopped off at the Ale House because I was hungry.
Yeah.
And there was surf on their television, and it's Vegas, so it's open 24 hours.
Yeah,
so I was there till like 5 or 6 in the morning just watching these surf
like,
videos.
Because it seems to be on a loop, but what you're telling me is that it's not a tight loop. It looks like it's the tightest loop, and there was like, are they just showing the same thing
yeah,
over
if
and
you,
over
Yeah, if
again?
You didn't know what, you'd think it was the same thing over and over.
When you're watching the run, and it looks like the same run, it looks like the same... He's taking the same wave. He's doing exactly the same thing. What are you seeing that I'm not seeing?
There's a movie that I watched when I was a kid called The Occumentary, which was Mark Occolupo, and he was surfing at Bell's Beach, which is down in Victoria near where I grew up in Melbourne.
Another place for a big contest.
Yeah, big contest. And the section goes for 10 minutes. The wave is mechanical, so it looks the same every single time.
Okay.
He is in the same wetsuit, doing the same move,
right.
And I am in awe watching it the whole time. But for you, you'd go, this is the same thing over and over, but I go, no, he changed that slightly enough for
right.
me to
did
think this is brilliant.
Did he shift his weight?
He just did a turn in a different spot, or he...
Okay,
he didn't
oh,
cut
he
back, take
up.
A wider
he,
cut back.
He did a wider cut back, or he...
He waited 12... A second longer.
And he drew that out a bit
okay.
longer, and then, or he took it from a bit deeper, and like you're like, oh, look at him go.
That's awesome. What's the name of that movie?
The Occumentary.
Mark Occolupo just. It's off his last name, OCC.
Umentary.
Okay. Fair enough.
He just did, in one of the contests, they have a lot. Now they're having like the senior do a heat, like they'll put up two old school. And Acalupo went up against, I forget who it was, and he just ripped. He
Where, Bells? Or
Bells last year.
Yeah, they did it, him and Tom Curran.
Yeah, Tom Curran.
Because they used to always compete back in the
day. How old are these guys now? Are they older?
Yeah, he's like 40s, 50s. He's probably mid-40s.
Okay. How long can you surf for? Can you surf forever?
Yeah, I think
I see old. Malibu, you see old dudes on those longboards, man.
Yeah, you just lose... I think some of your speed and
like flexibility and flexibility for sure.
And ambition. I mean, we were just talking today. I was earlier when I was surfing, and we were talking about the swell that was in, and I went to a place called El Porto, which is a beach break, and it can get pretty hairy. And I used to be like, 7-8 feet at El Porto is where I used to kind of draw the line. And now that I'm older, it's more like 6 feet is where I draw the line at El Porto.
Okay, so you're paddling out to the certain depth, or
a six foot swell or 6 foot wave.
Oh, yeah, okay. How tall the wave is?
Yeah, the swell is. Yeah,
so the swell. Okay. Yeah.
So if you get a 6 foot swell, you can look at it like an 8 foot face sometimes. Yeah, even a 10 foot face.
If it's a 6 foot swell, it's probably close to 3 times overhead.
Okay,
so your body 3 times.
And then 3 times above you, there's water.
Yeah.
That could crash on top of you.
That will.
Probably will.
It does.
Oh, it absolutely will.
I'm sorry.
Well, it's funny. Like, I was thinking about this, and I don't know how far we're in on this recording, but you've managed to not ask like what are the three typical questions about surfing, which is sharks. Anything about sharks?
Scared of sharks?
Drowning.
Or being held under.
Okay.
And then what's the biggest wave, I think? Those are usually three I get.
But well, there are animals, right? I mean, because it's the ocean.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Have you ever met an octopus?
Huh? 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 No? Okay. Oh, there's octopuses with a hat on? Like
and a cane?
All 8 letters crawling over it.
That's my favorite question, though, ever. I love it. Have you ever met an octopus?
Well, I mean, because I think that now, when I have actually been to Australia, and I was at the Great Barrier Reef, and we took a catamaran out so that we could go snorkeling and not stand on coral, because it's alive, and they hate that when people are standing on them.
Yes.
So, but one of the comics, one of the young comics,
Australian guy?
Yeah, Australian guy. One of the young...
There's a couple of Damos, but I think I know the one you're talking
about. Not Damo Clark.
Damo Clark's great.
Yeah, and he lives in Ireland now. Damien whatever.
Yeah, I think I know who you're talking about.
He's a good egg. But whatever, he was...
That's Damien Clark.
Oh, was that Damien Clark? Oh, there we go.
He lives in Ireland now?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so Damien Clark, he's probably 22 at the time.
Yeah.
So this is 2005. Yeah. So it's 10 years ago. And we're on the Great Barrier Reef, and he goes... Hey, I heard there's a shark over there. And he started swimming toward it. And we're like, who is that? Why is he so dumb?
He'll never live to see Ireland.
And he did. He also jumped into there was like a crocodile sign. And he jumped in. And he came back and he said, and there was a little girl, probably 7 or 8, who said, they just saw a croc about an hour ago. And then she's licking her ice cream cone. And he was like, pat, pat, pat.
They just saw a croc.
And so there are people that want to see sharks, and they think that but then you hear about that girl who got her arm bit off. And then Bethany Hamilton, who still surfs because she might possibly be addicted to surfing.
Well, I mean, she is still a very good surfer, but she would have been probably a world champ. She's an amazing surfer.
Phenomenal surfer.
So she's not going to stop.
I surfed that. She got a bit off in South Kauai, and I was there a month later surfing. I didn't tell my wife about Bethany.
Oh, right.
Because I was surfing in the same spot.
So have you met the animals of the ocean? Have you met them?
Yeah, I've met a few sharks.
I've met a great white?
What are we talking about?
I've met a white a couple times.
A gray nurse.
Okay. So great whites are.
We have whites
monsters.
Here.
Monsters. Yeah.
Yeah, we have whites here, and so I've seen a couple of whites here.
Okay, but have not met them.
Not personally.
Not personally.
I punched one.
That's right. You punched a shark.
I did. My story's not as good as Mick Fanning's story.
Right.
That was out at Jeffrey's.
Okay. And that just happen?
That just happened.
You never
that
told
happened.
Me you punched a shark.
That happened
sorry,
a month
we're
ago.
Jumping all over the place.
I'll quickly tell some background of because last month was South Africa, big competition, okay? Right. Like, put it back to tennis, it was Wimbledon, okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Or it's a
yeah.
Super Bowl. It was
yeah.
big.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was the final. So it was the start of the Super Bowl. It had been going for a minute, and the world champ, or he's second in the world right now, but he's won two world titles.
Mick Fanning.
So Mick Fanning, you know, it's like... at the Super Bowl, if a bear ran on the field and tried to attack Tom Brady,
yeah.
and everyone's like, oh my God, there's a bear.
It's got Brady.
And so he went for him. He wasn't attacking, but he went for him. And because the shark was massive, it was 20 foot. And
wow.
So
it was so big they thought it was two at one point.
What's that?
They thought it was two at
they
one
thought
point.
It was,
really?
It was so yeah. big they thought it was two. But he got bumped off his board and he was just thrashing around and punched the shark in the back a couple of times.
Oh my God.
Then, yeah.
yeah.
And there's great footage. You got to look it up.
Yeah.
And then the shark swims off and they call the contest off because everyone's just like, okay, that was a close call. Let's just call this off.
Okay.
This is full on. No, they stopped it. It was the
final. It was the final. It was down to two guys. So they both said, let's just split the prize money and split the points.
So they gave
and
them both.
Say that we both came second.
Oh,
and they're like,
hilarious.
Okay, let's do that.
And which I think. Mick Fanning beat off a shark. He wins.
Yeah, yeah.
like,
yeah
there's no two.
Julian Wilson, the other guy, did swim over to Mick
that's
Fanning
true.
While the shark was
oh,
there
yeah.
to help
yeah.
him.
Yeah,
so
that's true. And he doesn't get a lot
points.
Of press for that. So.
Oh, my God. You get serious points for going over yeah, yeah. and going, oh, do you need any help with this yeah. giant shark?
Well, they're mates. They've been mates for 20 years. And
where are they from? Which Mick Fanning and
they're both
Australia's.
From Queensland in
okay.
Australia.
Okay.
So they grew up together. Well, Mick's a bit older than Julian, and so he's kind of like been a bit of a mentor to him. Along the way, and so Julian saw his mate going like that, and goes, "Oh God, I got to get over there and help my mate." So yeah, they both did pretty bloody yeah. well to get away unscathed because that could have been a disaster.
Oh man, that could have been so
the
nasty.
World was watching. There was footage everywhere.
Yeah, yeah, this was live. Like it was in South Africa, so it was going on while we were sleeping here in
yeah.
America, and
right.
so I worked that night, so I didn't get home till midnight. So I watched the first half of it. Fell asleep, got up in the middle of the night and watched it again
yeah.
and saw that. And it's full on. Like, you listen to the commentators and it's 1 minute in. It's actually, they had to restart the heat. They surfed for 5 minutes. There are no waves, so they restarted the heat. And it
wow.
was a minute yeah. in and they're just talking. It's like, so yeah, so Mick Fanning, Julian Wilson is just going, and this is the commentator.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're, you know, Julian Wilson's worked hard and Mick Fanning's up here. It's going to be there seems to be some splashing over there, over by Mick.
Oh,
I don't see what's
that?
Going. Holy shit!
like
that's
said,
yeah,
holy
that's
shit,
literally
yeah.
the thing because he's watching his buddy get
right.
And then
right.
there
shark.
Was megaphones on the beach going, "Get to Mick Fanning now! Get to Mick Fanning
yeah,
now!"
Yeah, horn
and
out,
the jet
the
skis
boats,
came
jet
out,
skis.
And they got him and everything.
Right.
Easily could have been is
yeah.
this shark was so big if it just went like just picture a dog just going hey like that for a second if
yeah.
he did that Mick Fanning in half
dead
like
wow.
in
yeah.
half
because that's how big that shark was
yeah
so big and their teeth are so big and so sharp
they're razors they're basically
right.
razor
and
shark teeth
that, you know it would have been a very different
so
story
now,
very disgusting and very gross
no offense to Mick Fanning but did they kill the shark
no. the shark swim off
yeah,
the
yeah.
shark didn't
no.
even do anything the shark didn't attack him. The shark
it's,
went over
he was just
to.
Interrupted.
He was.
It's technically
he was a dog,
an attack.
Yeah, technically, but it was a dog sniffing and going, "What are you doing?" Yeah. But when a 20-foot shark does that, it makes
right.
a lot of noise and splash, and everyone
it's
shits
terrifying.
Themselves.
Yeah,
no, exactly.
Everyone.
The amazing.
Yeah,
and I talked a little bit about this on another interview recently. The amazing thing is, like Mick Fanning is a professional surfer. He's been surfing his whole life. He's seen sharks.
Yeah,
he's
yeah.
seen
it's not
sharks.
Like he hasn't seen a shark before,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And I'm not
if
saying
you've seen a shark and you've seen a shark.
Yeah,
yeah,
he's seen a shark.
Plenty of sharks.
And I'm not saying this, it's going to sound like I'm making fun of Mick Fanning, but I'm not. He knows what he's doing. He's seen sharks. He knows the danger. He's probably seen somebody else getting bumped by a shark before.
Yeah.
I've seen that.
Yeah.
And the look, the terror on his face
yeah.
when that shark starts kicking up around him.
Yeah, yeah. No, nobody.
And I'm not saying,
oh,
he's. I'm not saying he's a pussy or
nobody,
anything like
nobody
that.
Nobody gets to question the courage
yeah.
of anyone with a 20-foot shark. I don't care if you're a dentist from Minnesota.
Right.
You don't get to.
I think he handled himself very well because he put the board in between him and the shark.
Yeah, which is
yeah.
what you're supposed to do.
And then he lost that because the shark just moved slightly and you can see its whole body come out and just. Throw Mick to one side.
Yeah.
Oh, I will be watching.
Oh, yeah.
And then
because no one was killed, so I
that's when
yeah, yeah.
Mick
watch it.
Punched him in the back and tried
yeah,
to swim away from
him.
The shark.
Yeah.
So, What happened to me was out surfing.
Because we're almost at an hour, you guys.
Okay, I got a shark story too.
Good.
So what happened to me quickly, the sun had just gone down, and you should get out of the water immediately when the sun goes down. That is shark feeding time.
Okay.
So, and I know that. Everyone knows that. So I'm sitting out there going, I should be in. What the hell am I doing? What am I doing? There's another guy sitting about 20 foot to the right of me, an older guy on a longboard. Mm-hmm. You know what that is now. And I'm just quietly sitting there waiting for a wave to come in, and a shark just came up next to me, just sort of hovered out of the water next to me.
Just rose up.
And its fin was probably like a foot and a half, two at the most. So it wasn't a massive shark. It was probably 6 foot. But my reaction was like, I punched in the back, and when I say punch, I mean I slapped it, and I squealed like an actual girl.
I went, oh my God.
The shark and turned around and swam in. I thought, oh no, the old guy's been eaten. And I looked out, and it was dead calm water, and I had swam in as fast as I could. And I thought, oh, that's it. The old man's dead. He's been eaten. And I looked down the beach, and he was running down the beach. He'd beat me in. He was that quick in because he saw the shark and stuff.
How long does it take to paddle out to the wave?
It depends.
Depends. There's different.
Right.
Waves break sometimes a kilometer offshore. Sorry. Okay. 800 feet.
Right. 8/10 of a mile.
Yeah.
Hawaii is always a long paddle because the reefs are out there.
Okay.
But here in Southern California is a pretty short paddle.
Fair enough. Now, what is your shark story?
I have a few shark stories. There's a lot of sharks in Southern California. A lot of them are not very dangerous. There's a lot of leopard sharks, which are bottom feeders, and they rarely get past 5 feet, and you know, they look like a shark, but they're not going to bother you. And we get a lot of whites here. I just found out the aquarium in Monterey gets their great white sharks after they've been birthed here and take them up to the display up there. So there've been a couple summers ago, there were a couple whites hanging out, up here around Topanga and in that area.
Racist.
And, and I went out
surfing. Leopards, anyway.
I went out with a couple friends of mine, and we went to this place called Sunset, which is a beginner spot, which I don't go to very often. But for some reason, we went there that day, and there had been a white hanging out there for a while. And I'd gotten there first, and I'd seen the fin of the white swimming through the lineup. And there's, like Monty said, there's 200 people out there.
Yeah.
The odds of me, if it attacks, the odds of it getting me is nothing. So I'm not really worried about it. And
wow, that's a numbers game. I don't ever want to play. Anyway, go ahead.
So I'm on my shortboard, so I'm up to my armpits in the water, and I'm hanging out with my friend Chris, and she's on a longboard, and we're out for like an hour, and the shark swims by again, and there's a stand up paddleboarder who's like, you know, point, there he is, and I'm like, how big is he? And he's like, well, my paddleboard's 9'6", and it's a little longer than my paddleboard, so we're looking at like a 10-foot shark.
Wow.
Still hanging out in the water. And then I'm about from Meteor Wall, which is, I'd say, about 6 feet from me and my friend Chris, and that white comes up and hits her nose of her board. Boom.
Really?
And, like, knocks her back, and she catches her balance, and he takes off and splits. And now Chris had every right to shit her pants and scream and everything.
Yeah,
I'm like, Chris, are you okay? She's like, I'm fine.
Silent,
are you sure?
Quietly.
She's
quietly
like, yes.
Fine.
I'm like, do you want to go in? She's like, yes, I do.
Yes, I would like that very much.
And so we paddled in.
Yes. That is awesome. So, hey, everybody should go to, if you get a chance to see Surfari.
Comics on Surfari.
La Jolla at the Comedy Store the end.
Can I do a little quick plug?
Yeah.
We also do Ventura, Irvine, Brea, that's San Diego. We're supposed to go to Santa Cruz. And again, it's just
comedy.
It's comedy. It's
right.
But we also have sponsors like Quicksilver and Maui and Sons and stuff like that. So we give away free.
There's trinkets.
There's swag.
Oh, nice.
And it's a representation. It's like we have Monty. He's the Australian. I'm the dad. We have Tim Lee, who's a scientist, turned comedian. You know, we got Graham Elwood. You know,
right.
We're just all comics who happen to surf, and it really
is a vegan Goomba.
Yeah.
Graham Elwood, that guy's awesome. And
it came to me. I was
my favorite thing is Graham Elwood said. He said, "You know, I know that I look like this, but I just want to talk to you about vegetarians."
I know.
I know that I look like this,
and he's very like angry on stage, but he's
sweetest guy in the world.
He is.
Anyway, but I interrupted you. Go ahead.
Oh no, I was just saying it came to me when I was working Denver in the wintertime, and I was waiting for the manager of the club to pick me up at the bus stop, and I'm freezing my
ass
off.
Comedy is glamorous, you guys. Super glamorous.
And I'm like,
everyone should do it.
There's clubs near the ocean in Southern California. Why am I out here doing this? So I called Graham, who's an old buddy of mine, and I put together Comics on Safari. And so we go up and down the coast doing shows for you guys and giving away free stuff. It's great. Come on out.
Come on out. And it's at Murray V
at
on
Murray
Twitter,
V on Twitter.
And MurrayValeriano.com.
Thank you. And my Road Stories podcast.
And Road Stories podcast. That's right. Mm-hmm. Which I have been on several times as well, where we talk about doing the road as stand-up comics.
Yeah.
And MontyFranklin.com. Monty with a Y. And it's at Monty Franklin. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and Murray's new album is Rusty Cow. All
right. Yes.
Anything else?
Top 100 on iTunes.
There you go. You got anything, Monty?
Real Rob. I'm going to be on Rob Schneider's new TV show, Real Rob, coming out in October. I can't tell you when it's going to be, what channel it's going to be on, but it'll be out in October.
It'll be on your television.
It'll be on your television screen.
That'll be great. Thank you so much for being on the show, you guys.
Jackie, anytime. I love coming on the show.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. To meet you, Monty. And Rangers.
Thanks for the iced tea.
Sure. You've done vital work, Rangers. Take care of each other out there. Okay, bye.
My hat, my hat, my hat. They're dancing around my hat. My hat, my hat, my hat. Well, what do you think of that? If it looks like a Mexican hat dance and it sounds like a Mexican hat dance, it's most likely a Mexican hat dance. So take off your hat and let's dance.
Yay! Oh my God. Why don't we just call that as the end of the show?